This written by the man who committed adultery with Bathsheba. This written by the man who, we're told in 2 Samuel 11, killed Bathsheba's husband, Uriah. How could anyone who has just finished reading the book of 2 Samuel conclude here in 2 Samuel 22 that these words, "God has kept me from sin," belong to David? But if you look at verse 1 of 2 Samuel 22, God does tell us that David wrote this song. David sang this song to the Lord. The words of this song when the Lord delivered him from the hand of all his enemies and from the hand of Saul. God tells us in the first verse that this is a song of David. We know that God does not make errors, in particular with his word, which has no errors. So if David wrote the song, and we have read the entire book of 2 Samuel, and we know of David's sins, how could it be that David is credited with these words of righteousness? Is there anyone who has lived a perfect life? Is there anyone in this world who has ever lived the kind of life of which David speaks of? I have not turned away from God's decrees. Let us first of all, as we seek to answer these questions, remind ourselves what David is writing about in these verses. In verse 21, the beginning of the second half of this song, you will notice the first thing that David writes about is his reward. The Lord has dealt with me according to my righteousness, according to the cleanness of my hands, he has rewarded me. David is writing about a reward that God has given him. And in last week's sermon, as we looked at the beginning of this song, we came to understand what that reward, what that blessing was. David writes in the beginning of this song about his desperation. He writes about the violent men, verse 3, that are seeking to harm him. He calls out to God for God to save him from his enemies, verse 4. Nevertheless, he feels, verse 5, as if the waves of death are swirling about him. The torrents of destruction are overwhelming me. The cords of the grave coiled around me and the snares of death confronted me. David feels, in language he gives us, as if he is drowning. As if his enemies, his violent enemies, are about to destroy him and to take his life. And in verse 17, David writes about the Lord's rescue, about the Lord's deliverance. He reached down from on high, that's heaven, and took hold of me. He drew me out of the deep waters. He rescued me from my powerful enemy, from my foes who were too strong for me. This is the salvation that David is writing about. God has rewarded him by rescuing him from his enemies, rescuing him from being near death. And how did God rescue him? Just to remind you, verses 8 through 16 address that. God rescued him from heaven. The earth trembled and quaked, verse 8. The foundations of the heavens shook. They trembled because he was angry. Smoke rose from his nostrils. Consuming fire came from his mouth. Burning coals blazed out of it. He parted the heavens and came down. Dark clouds were under his feet. He mounted the cherubim and flew. He soared on the wings of the wind. He made darkness his canopy around him, the dark rain clouds of the sky. Out of the brightness of his presence, bolts of lightning blazed forth. God answered from heaven. God's deliverance for David from his enemies was displayed for David from the very power of heaven. God destroyed his enemies. God gave him deliverance. Why? Last week we concluded at verse 20 with the because. God rescued me, second line of verse 20, because he delighted in me. Why did God delight in David? Why did God reward David is the language of verse 21. God rewarded me, verse 21, according to my righteousness, according to the cleanness of my hands. With your hands in the Bible, that means it's the things that you do. That means that God has answered David's call. He has answered David's prayer because God has blessed him through righteousness. In fact, look at verse 21 and 25 of our text and notice the repetition. In verse 25, we read, "The Lord has rewarded me according to my righteousness, according to the cleanness, my cleanness in his sight." Three times, three words are repeated. The same words in verse 21, the words rewarded, the words righteousness, and the word cleanness. According to my righteousness, according to my cleanness, God has blessed him with a reward. Whenever you see repeated vocabulary like this in Hebrew, verse 21, verse 25, that is an indication for us that this is an inclusio, it's called in Hebrew. What does that mean? That means that God has bracketed something. That means through the inspiration of his spirit, through the inspired writer, we're told it's David, God has bracketed something, something important for us to know and take note of at the center of this bracket. In the center of the bracket, verse 22 through 24, we read of the righteousness that David is describing. Why has God rewarded him? Because of his righteousness, the cleanness of his hands. In verses 22 through 24, David describes that righteousness. "For I have kept the ways of the Lord. I have not done evil by turning from my God. All his laws are before me. I have not turned away from his decrees. I have been blameless before him and kept myself from sin." The bottom line is this. God answered David's prayer and call for help in such a powerful way from heaven itself. God rescued him from death, from the snares of the grave, because of David's righteousness. Why does God delight in David, verse 20? Because of David's righteousness. David's righteousness, David's faithful keeping of the law is the reason for David's deliverance. But wait. We come back to the beginning comments of this sermon. Anybody who reads 2 Samuel is going to say, "How could David ever write these words? We've just completed the book of 2 Samuel. We read of David's sin with Bathsheba, of David's sin in murdering her husband to cover up his adultery. We read of the chaos taking place in David's house and his failure again and again to deal justice to his children who have sinned. The whole kingdom of Israel is cast into a civil war. How can this David possibly write of his righteousness and his blamelessness before God?" Well, notice verse 31 through 33. Who is perfect? Verse 31. "As for God, his way is perfect." You see, David is writing in verse 31 concerning the perfection of God himself. God's perfection, God's righteousness. As for God, His way is perfect. The word of the Lord is flawless. He is a shield for all who take refuge in Him. For who is God besides the Lord? And who is the rock except our God? Verse 33. It is God who arms me with strength and makes my way perfect. You see, in verse 31, we're told that David describes God as perfect. And who is it that makes David perfect? Verse 33, it is God who arms me with strength and makes my way perfect. You see, David's perfection comes from God. David's righteousness of which he speaks comes from God. God alone is perfect. We know 2 Samuel tells us that David is not perfect, that he is a sinner. But somehow, as David writes this song, he can write of his perfect righteousness. He can write of his perfect keeping of the law of God, that he is blameless, that he has been kept from his sin. How is it that God has made David perfect? In Romans chapter 3, the Apostle Paul speaks of this perfection. In Romans chapter 3, verse 20, we read this. Therefore, no one will be declared righteous in his sight, that's God's sight, by observing the law. Rather, through the law, we become conscious of sin. But now a righteousness from God apart from the law has been made known, to which the law and the prophets testify. This righteousness from God comes through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. You see, the Apostle Paul understands. He is describing everyone who has lived in this world as sinners. We are all sinners. We all fall short of the glory of God. And we know from 2 Samuel that David is a sinner. But how do you become righteous? How do you become obedient to God's law? Because a righteousness from God apart from the law has been made known. This is what the law and the prophets and David is speaking of in 2 Samuel 22. This righteousness of God from God comes through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. Look on in Romans 3. Verse 23, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God and are justified freely by His grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus. God presented Him as a sacrifice of atonement through faith in His blood. He did this to demonstrate His justice because in His forbearance He had left the sins beforehand unpunished. You see, the Apostle Paul is writing concerning the righteousness of Jesus Christ. And he writes concerning that righteousness because he understands what David understands, God's promises of the covenant. David knows that his righteousness is the righteousness of God. David knows that he is a sinner, and he cannot write these words concerning his own faithfulness to God's law. But God has made a promise, you see. God has made an Old Testament promise that He would send a Son through the line of David, a Savior, Jesus Christ, who would be born at Bethlehem and would perfectly keep the law of God. 40 days out in the wilderness, tempted by Satan, and He said, I live by every word that cometh from the mouth of God. You see, he lived a perfectly righteous life. You see these words of which David writes in 2 Samuel 22, verses 22 through 24, are the very words that describe the life of Jesus Christ. For I have kept the ways of the Lord. I have not done evil by turning from God. That's not David. That's David writing concerning his understanding of the covenant. His understanding that God demands justice. God demands righteousness. And that righteousness is applied to him in that covenant. That righteousness is applied to him in the fulfillment of that covenant in Jesus Christ. Verse 23, all his laws are before me. I have not turned away from his decrees. That's Jesus' life he's talking about. I have been blameless before him and have kept myself from sin. That's Jesus' life he's talking about. That's the righteousness of God, verse 33, that is applied to David through the covenant. And that righteousness, which comes to him by faith, is what grants him his reward. Remember part one of this psalm, of this song? David is near death. He feels as if the waves of death are swirling about him. His enemies are around him. He doesn't know what to do. And God reaches down from heaven and took hold of him and drew him out. And how did God rescue him? He rescued him through the power of a theophany, through his power which came down from heaven and destroyed his enemies. God's wrath against the enemies of God's people who desire to destroy him and to harm God's people. And that wrath of God is the wrath of God that came upon Jesus Christ. You see, David is a sinner and deserves to die. He deserves death. And he can only be saved by God because somebody paid for his sin. And verses 8 through chapter 16 of this song, David describes that wrath of God which came upon his enemies, which came upon those who sin. That wrath of God which came upon Jesus Christ on the cross. And now David writes of his reason for his salvation. Why didn't that wrath come on me? Why am I not an enemy of God? Why does God not destroy me for my sin? Why has God rewarded me this way? Why does God delight in me? Because the righteousness of God, the righteousness of Jesus Christ, is applied to my account. Now, we're not done in this song this morning. For you notice some interesting language in verses 26 through 27. To the faithful you show yourself faithful. To the blameless you show yourself blameless. To the pure you show yourself pure. If you had to find the center of this song, you would find it right in these verses. If you count up the number of the Hebrew words on each side of these verses, you would find the very center. If you count up the number of verses on each side of these two verses, you would find verses 26 and 27 to be the center of the song. What is the point? To the faithful you show yourself faithful. Who was faithful? Jesus Christ was faithful. To the blameless you show yourself blameless. Who was blameless? Jesus Christ was blameless. To the pure you show yourself pure. Who was pure? Jesus Christ is pure. And David uses these words to describe and compare himself with God. to the faithful who believe in Jesus Christ as their Savior, you've shown yourself faithful. You see, God is faithful, and faithfulness applies to His people because Jesus Christ was faithful. God is blameless. How are we blameless? We're blameless because Jesus Christ was blameless. God is pure, we are pure. You see, there is a union going on in these verses. A union with Christ, a union with God. God's people have come into union with Him through the power of Jesus Christ and His faithfulness, His blamelessness, His purity. And now it all belongs to His people. But it's not for everybody, is it? At the end of verse 27, but to the crooked you show yourself shrewd. You see, there are those in our text of which David writes who did not believe these things. There are those whom God destroyed, His enemies, who did not love God, who went down to death as God answered David's prayer from heaven. This grace and deliverance is for those who know God and salvation in Jesus Christ. Notice verse 28. You save the humble, but your eyes are on the haughty to bring them low. If you were to think who is haughty in this passage, you would think of somebody who thinks that they've perfectly kept the law. You would think of somebody who says, I have always been blameless before God, and I have kept myself from sin. That's the haughty person, you would say. But notice, verse 28, God saves the humble. Jesus Christ was humble. Jesus Christ came down to this world as the Son of God, and He humbled Himself for His people. The Son of God humbled Himself all the way to death on the cross. The Son of God, who had all power, by whom and through whom all things were created, humbled Himself on the cross. And those who belong to Jesus Christ, who have union with Him, are the humble. Those are the ones God saves. But your eyes are on the haughty, the ones who reject Jesus Christ, the ones who think they can save themselves. God brings them low. Verse 29, you are my lamp, O God. The Lord turns my darkness into light. Earlier in these concluding chapters of 2 Samuel, we read at the end of chapter 21 that David was the lamp of Israel. As David went to battle, his troops told him, no longer should you go to fight, because, verse 17, the lamp of Israel must not be extinguished. The lamp of Israel is David, chapter 21. But how does David become the lamp of Israel? Verse 29 of chapter 22. You are my lamp, O Lord. In the book of Revelation, the last book of God's Word in chapter 21, John is looking into heaven, and he writes these words, I did not see a temple in the city, because the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are its temple. The city does not need the sun or the moon to shine on it, for the glory of God gives it light, and the Lamb is its lamp. You see, the Lamb of God, Jesus Christ, is now seated in heaven. And He is the lamp of heaven. He is the lamp, no longer the sun or the moon to shine, but the glory of God is that lamp through Jesus Christ, who is seated in the heavenly realms, through Jesus Christ, whom David has just described, you have union with. And if you remember our call to worship this morning from 2 Samuel chapter 4, the Apostle Paul tells us there, "For God who said, 'Let light shine out of darkness,' made his light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ." You see, the Apostle Paul understands David's song. He understands what David means when he writes concerning the Lord, "You are my lamp." God's righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ shines in the heart of all his believers. That lamp that is in heaven, that's shining in you. When you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, that lamp is shining through you. The darkness that you see in your life, your sin, your pain, your trouble, what does David say? "The Lord turns my darkness into light." That lamp shines through you and brings light shining in this dark and sinful world. That light shines through you, enabling you to put off darkness and sin. That lamp of God is the righteousness of Jesus Christ, of which David writes, which shines more and more through your life. And when that lamp is burning in you, what does David say in verse 30? "With your help, I can advance against a troop. With my God, I can scale a wall." You see, David understands union with God. In this song, David is writing concerning what it means to have union with Christ. Not only do you know that he died on the cross and paid for your sins, taking God's wrath for your sin upon himself, not only do you know that his righteousness is applied to your account, that when God looks down from heaven and he sees you, he sees a just and righteous person. He doesn't see a sinner. He sees a righteous person because they have faith in Jesus Christ and his works are yours. But he also understands that when you know Jesus Christ, and you understand that union you have with him, there is nothing in this world that you should be afraid of. "With your help, I can advance against a troop. With my God, I can scale a wall." Those enemies of this world that David is so afraid of, he doesn't need to be afraid. God's lamp is burning in him. The light of God is shining through him. God's faithfulness is his faithfulness. God's blameless is his blamelessness. God's purity is his purity. Union with God. Union with Christ. Eternal union that is forever. He has no fear. No darkness. No enemy can harm him, because God has reached down from heaven and has pulled him out of the waters, verse 17 and 18, and given him salvation, his reward for believing in Jesus Christ and his righteousness forevermore. Sometimes we get caught up in our earthly circumstances, in the difficulties we face in this world, and we think, how can we get through it? How can we overcome? How come God doesn't deliver us from this terrible situation? But he has. He's already provided you salvation, which is forevermore. And no matter what you face in this world. God has helped you. He helps you advance against the troops. He'll help you scale a wall. Because your union with Christ and God is forevermore. And no one, nothing can take that away. May the lamp, may the light of Jesus Christ forever shine brightly in you. May you understand that the hope of this world looks to Bethlehem. May you understand that the reason we celebrate these things this time of year, the reason we celebrate the birth of our Savior, the reason we can sing, "Hark, the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King, peace on earth and mercy mild, God and sinners reconciled." The reason you can say that is because long ago at Bethlehem, God sent His Son, who in His life and in His death fulfilled this song of David and applied it to you. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we do thank you for the grace and salvation of Jesus Christ. We thank you that we can sing a song along with David concerning the payment for our sins that Jesus suffered on the cross, concerning the righteousness of Jesus Christ which has been applied to us so that we are delivered from your wrath for our sin, concerning our union that we have with you, that, Lord, it is not us, but it is Jesus. As we think of you and the coming of our Savior, we give praise and thanks. For we know that your lamp, your light, shines in us. And the darkness, the enemies, the sin in this world fades and turns only to light. May the light of heaven shine brightly in us forevermore. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Let us sing together. Number 203, "Hark, the herald angels sing." Number 203, let us stand and sing about this glorious grace that God has sent to us from heaven. Number 203, all the stanzas.
The herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King, peace on earth and mercy mild, God and sinners reconciled. Joyful all ye nations rise, join the triumph of the skies, with angelic hosts proclaim, Christ is born in Bethlehem. Hark, the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King. Christ by highest heaven adored, Christ the everlasting Lord, made in time. all he brings, risen with healing in his wings. Mild he lays his glory by, born that man no more may die, born to raise the sons of earth, born to give them second birth. Hark, the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King.
A reminder, there are some cards on the back table for you to sign that we hope to send to those connected with our church that are serving in faraway places, serving our country. Receive the benediction of our God. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God the Father and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.
Glory be to the Father and to the Son and to the it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be.